All right. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. We're here to answer your questions about the Affordable Care Act, which the enrollment period ends on March 31st. It's only 20 days away. Andrea is one of our local experts in helping you get it enrolled if you don't already have insurance coverage through Medicare or an employer plan. And we're taking your calls, and we've got Tully on the line. Hi, Tully.
Hi. So if you have an employer insurance and you change jobs and you go to a job that doesn't have insurance, what do you do? And what happens after open enrollment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's a great
scenario. Thanks, Tully.
So you can, that's called, you're then eligible for a special enrollment period. You're eligible to actually apply on the marketplace. If there's definitely life circumstances that happen that make you eligible to apply for insurance after the March 31st deadline. Let's say, for example, you lose your job or you get a new job and it doesn't have insurance. That's the time that you can apply. If you get a divorce, especially if you're getting a divorce after that March 31st deadline, then you can go in. If there's a death, say your husband dies, those are things that would allow you to go in and make changes.
And is healthcare.gov, is that still the go-to place? I mean, we've been talking about it as the place to enroll, but is it a continuous resource for helping you manage your plan, or do you want to be picking up the phone and calling MOTA directly or Primera Blue Cross?
Well, there's going to be some things that you're going to call your insurance directly about. So if you have questions about this charge or that charge, you're going to call your insurance company. But if there's changes like what we were just talking about, you lost your job and you're getting a job without insurance, then you're going to go through the marketplace. As a general rule, once you have insurance through the marketplace, you're going to actually want to talk to both, right?
Right.
You're going to make sure both of them have the information. So it is, yes, you are. This is going to be a continuous relationship through the marketplace and with that toll-free line, which is 1-800-318-2596. Again, that number can be called 24/7. You can apply over the phone at any time of the day or night. And this is a really great resource for people who, you know, work odd hours or might be night owls. You can take care of it all in the middle of the night if you'd like to.
Yeah, I have a friend who kind of battled with the healthcare.gov page for a while, the website. Even after it had been improved, she had a hard time sort of getting it all to sort of come together. And then she ended up calling the toll-free number, and she said she had a healthcare plan in about 15 or 20 minutes.
That's right. So if you really are having trouble with the website, just call them up directly, and they can do so many things. I mean, I can help people here, and I help many people go online and go through the whole process, and works out great. But if you're on your own and you've really struggled with that, I would say just forget the darn website and call them up. They can do many things that you and I can't do on the computer because they're right there and have the ability to do all of that.
It's a person and not a
It's a
computer.
Real person, and they have a real name.
All right.
And
The number to call here to speak to real people is 747-5877. If you're outside of Sitka, it's 1-800-478-5877.
Now, I found that information about the health savings accounts. And if you go through your bank, so you can set something up like that. And a benefit of a health savings account is you don't have to pay taxes on the money that you put in there. And you also don't have to pay taxes on the interest also. So, but you can only use this health savings account for high deductible high health plans. And there are these plans on the marketplace. So if you want to set up a health savings account, which, in other words, you put money in this health savings account to pay for your health care, to pay for the deductibles or the co-payments.
Those out-of-pocket expenses.
Those out-of-pocket expenses, right. So if you know this coming year is going to be a tough year medically for you, this might be a great way to, again, save some money, some tax money.
Right. But HSAs, health savings accounts, are not really part of the healthcare.gov marketplace. This is the caller who called in that question was talking about this sort of outside
entity, right? So you set up a health savings account at a bank, or oftentimes, sometimes employers have a health savings account. But then when you go on the marketplace, you need to choose the high deductible health plan, because that's the only one that's going to be compatible legally with that.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the tie-in is.
All right. The information floated to the top of the pile there. Again, our number 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. And you can also post a question for Andrea Thomas on our Facebook page, which you can access by going to kcaw.org and clicking on the Facebook button. So
let's talk a little bit about the application process.
Yeah.
All the things you should get ready when you want to apply. So you really should have, you need to actually have, if you're going to do this online by yourself or if you come in and visit with me, you're going to need to have a email account, and you're going to have to know your password, because you're going to have to get into your email in my office or at your home. And you're also going to need to have your income information. Again, the modified adjusted gross income. And again, we have a flyer for that, and it's up on the KCAW website that actually has a flyer about that. You need to have that information. And then if you have a green card, you'll need to have that with you, because we'll need to have some of that information. You'll need to have social security number and everybody's birthday. So that's, you know, if you're applying for your whole family, you need to have everybody's information, because it's all included. So say, for example, you're married and you have three kids, but only you need insurance. You still have to have the information about your whole family, and it's your whole family's income that's put into the marketplace. Then it's going to take some time. So generally when people come to my office, it's probably about an hour and a half with explaining and going through the whole process. So you'll have to come with a little bit of patience. And then if you're doing it on your own, you'll type in all your information. It'll send you an email. Then you go in your email, find the one that says Marketplace Account, and then you press on a link in there. And then it takes you back to the website. And it chugs through, and it'll say success, and then you can carry on. Then it's going to try to verify your identity. So it's going to ask you some trick questions. And if they ask you your county, you're always going to put in Sitka, even though we know there's no counties around here. And once you get through if you don't get through the verification process, sometimes you'll have to make a call to a certain company. And so you call that certain company up, and then they ask you a number of questions and verify your identity. What I found is after that happens, that you're going to have to wait a bit before you get back on, because it takes a while for that to get through the system. So if you get into that situation after you call, you just give it a rest for 24 hours and try it again the next day. Then you can continue putting your information in. If you're verified, you continue putting in your information. And so there's the income part tends to be a little bit trickier, because they're going to ask, where is your income coming from? So you have to put your job in. If you get unemployment benefits, if you get the permanent dividend, all these incomes that come in, you have to do a little bit something about each one of those. And you really have to check, because when they come back and tell you, is this what you make a year? Oftentimes I've seen it come back like, whoa, way, way higher. And it's because instead of saying you make $24,000 in a year, it says you make $24,000 a month, and you have to go back and change it. Mm-hmm. So there's these little – you really have to pay attention to those kind of things.
Right. And we did have a question about income since we're on this subject,
okay.
Andrea. This was called into the station by John. Not everybody has to go on the air, by the way. We have staff who will just take your question and bring it on in here. What about college students who may be using grants or savings as income? Will they – fall into the donut hole?
Yeah, it depends.
How is that income treated?
Right. So if, yeah, they're actually, those are considered more deductible. So if people are, we've had situations where people have really saved up for college and they're going to college and there's no income coming in, then they fall, they personally fall in this donut hole. But then again, their parents, if they're under 26, could actually cover them for their insurance, and that's a possibility for them if that's, you know, if that is a possibility, if they want to pay their parents.
Yes,
if the parents are willing to dish it out.
It's negotiable. Let's just,
that's right.
We'll just start right there.
That's right. But there are certain circumstances that, yes, they would fall below that 100% federal poverty level.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And John had another question. And again, you touched on it a little bit earlier. Is the enrollment period deadline just for 2014? What about 2015 and later enrollment as folks age into the program? I think you sort of covered that, that there are contingencies built into the system.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about, there's open enrollment, and that ends March 31st, 2014. The next one starts November 15th, and it goes to January 15th. Now, this is what it is right now. Who knows if that's really what will be starting in November, because it's negotiable, I guess. But right now, that's what you can bank on. So that starting November 15th will be then for 2015. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about Alaska Native or American Indian.
Right.
Because for Alaska Natives or American Indians, actually, they can enroll in the marketplace any month of the year. And also they can file their exemption, the Alaska Native American Indian exemption form, anytime in 2014. So there's a very specific exemption form for Alaska Native American Indian people, which basically says that Alaska Native American Indian people are covered by the Indian Health Service. So that's a form of insurance. So it's proving you're Alaska Native by showing, by submitting some sort of document. Could be a certificate of Indian blood, could be a tribal enrollment card, could be actually a shareholder's card. So you fill out this application, and it's a paper application. It's located at any search clinic. And I've also, you know, I just got back from Angoon and helped more than 50 people file this exemption or fill out this exemption. It really only takes 10 or 15 minutes. It's very quick. And you file a copy only, not original, of any one of those documents that I talked about. And that basically says, I'm Alaska Native American Indian, I'm covered by IHS insurance, and I'm exempt from paying this tax penalty. And so it's really important. It's especially important for people that are only covered by the Indian Health Service. In fact, it's mandatory, really, for them to file this exemption. Well, otherwise, they could face a tax penalty.
Yeah, well, it sounds contradictory. You help Alaska or Native Americans or Alaska Natives enroll, or you help them file the exemption. I mean,
that's right.
What is the choice there? Should I enroll if I'm Alaska Native, or should I file for the exemption?
Well, I am because this exemption is a lifetime exemption. I'm really encouraging all Alaska Native or American Indian people to file this exemption, even if they're covered by insurance. Now, if they're covered by Medicare or veterans benefits, which are considered lifetime benefits, then I wouldn't worry about it. But, you know, if you are Alaska Native and you have a job that offers insurance and that's what you have, you know, you might not have that job 5 years later. So I just, because it's a lifetime exemption, I encourage all Alaska Native American Indian people to file that exemption. Now, that being said, there is really actually a great deal for Alaska Native people to go on the marketplace and get insurance. And why it's such a great deal, number one, they can enroll any time, any month. And also, if they make between 100% and 300% of the federal poverty level, they actually have another great deal in that they don't have to pay a deductible and they don't have to pay any out-of-pocket expenses. So it's another way of getting insurance that really only have to pay a premium. And again, this is the same for everybody. You have to fit within that poverty level. You have to fit between 100% and 400% and under 300% for special deductions. So you have to fit within that. And also, you can't be eligible for insurance through your employer. So in other words, if you work for Search and you're Alaska Native, and you decided not to take the insurance because you felt it was unaffordable to you, you're not eligible to actually get insurance through the marketplace because you're offered affordable insurance through your employer. So there's definitely some catches with that.
Yeah, and I guess there must be something I'm missing, because if I am covered by IHS, Indian Health Service benefits, why would I even go there for insurance?
Well,
in the marketplace,
right? A lot of people like to have insurance because it covers things that might not be covered by IHS. It gives them a sense of security if they travel quite a bit out of state. Even though contract health actually will help cover expenses out of state, it still is easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can afford it. And actually, if people get insurance, the Indian Health Service is a very set amount of money. And when Alaska Native American Indian people have insurance, and then so that insurance can be billed, it actually stretches that Indian Health Service money a lot further. So, of course, it's a benefit for not just SEARCH, but all Alaska Native American Indian people that are getting services. So there's actually quite a few benefits.
Is that a kind of a one-on-one decision? Is that a case-by-case sort of thing? I mean, do people have to kind of crunch the numbers there as well, or are you just...
Yes, all of these are personal decisions.
Yeah,
yes,
I guess that's kind of a dumb question.
All of these are decisions that people need to make, and some people want insurance because they want to have a variety of options, and so that's another consideration too.
Okay. Andrea, we had a question about prescription plans.
Yes.
This is from our email. All the in-network and out-of-network questions bring to mind a surprise I ran into signing up for Medicare. There are a number of prescription plans, only a few of which are in-network in Sitka. Does it matter under these plans for drugs?
Right. So if you have certain medications that you use, that would be something that you want to do a little bit exploring on for whatever plan that you pick. But from my look at all the prescription sections of all the plans offered, there's a in-network and there's a out-of-network. And so you're right. In small places, in local pharmacies, they often can't be in-network. It's just too expensive for them. And largely that has to be really big pharmacies like Costco or Fred Meyer. That being said, they still pay out-of-network, I guess depending on your plan. And so you might pay a little bit higher fee for that, or oftentimes they have these insurance plans have these specific plans for medications that you can get a 90-day supply. So you really have to look specifically into the plan that you're considering and see what they offer. Because you're correct, there's in-network and there's out-of-network within Sitka, with the pharmacies.
I will say this. Again, we talked earlier about some of the reporting we've done at KCIW, and I did speak with one person who had extremely high monthly prescription drug bills, like in the $11 to $12, you know, $1,300 range, and who found a way through the ACA to kind of reduce her premiums to a more sort of humane level. It was interesting to see how that kind of worked out.
Yeah, and I have really seen that. So, for example, there's people that I've worked with that actually make over the amount, so they don't necessarily get any tax credits or cost reduction, but what they paid for their premium was really high, and then they just went through the marketplace, and what they could find was a little over a third of what they were paying. So, you know, $600 versus $1,400. So I guess it's not quite a third.
Yeah.
My math is a little off there, but you could say it was significantly reduced. So, and for some people going on there just because of their income, not much difference. Or maybe they have a catastrophic and only want to, you know, that's what they want. So, and really catastrophic is only available for somebody that's 30 or under.
Okay.
through the marketplace.
Andrea, there's another question in. Again, this is to our email here at KCAW. I think people are emailing news@kcaw.org. If I had a self-insured high deductible plan and a health savings account, then I signed up to get a low deductible plan, what happens to the health savings account if it's not compatible?
Yeah, good question.
Is this
ask your bank.
Okay.
I would ask your bank. I basically pulled these instructions, which is from the Department of Treasury. It was instructions forms for health savings accounts. And for 2013, and that's where I got all my information. It was through the Internal Revenue Service. So you might want to try to find that document. It's Form 8889, and that might be able to help with your question.
Okay. So, and again, health savings accounts, they're part of the picture of, you know, dealing with insurance for sure, but they're not necessarily a product that's available in this marketplace.
Right. And let me just say that if you accidentally got a low deductible one and you want a high deductible one, there is a way before March 31st to go in and delete that one and choose another one. So you have a little window of time if you find yourself in that situation.
Mm, okay. Andrea, I had, again, maybe some really simple questions, since all of us who are, you know, everyone out there who's uninsured is probably going to be taking a look at this. How long does it take from the time I enroll to the time I can go to the doctor?
Okay. So if you go through the whole system in the first half of the month, let's just say March 1st to March 15th, then your insurance is going to start April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enroll in the latter half of the month, it's going to be the following month, May 1st. So those of you who want your insurance through starting April 1st, you got a few days to go here. And then the latter half of the month. So that's what it looks like. So it's essentially it's going to be the month later or the following month, depending on when you enroll. And so it actually doesn't start until you pay your premium. So once you go in and enroll, then you should hear from the plan or the company within a week. If you don't, you're given a phone number to call them. And there's been some glitches in that whole scenario where the marketplace has to give the information to the insurance company. Sometimes there's a lapse, and so that can happen. But you should be able to call your insurance company. Then they'll tell you how you can pay your premium. Once you pay your premium, then you're considered, that's when insurance starts. It is unlike when you go buy insurance just directly. Usually if you go buy insurance, then it starts the day after you pay or something like that, but that's not the case for the marketplace. It's the next month or the following month, depending on when you enroll.
Okay. I wanted to present a scenario to you that you might have encountered the other night. It didn't find its way into our news reporting, but we learned about it. But say you were a fisherman, mm-hmm. and you had an extraordinarily good year last year, record pink salmon year, and your income sort of bumped up over the level where you'd normally qualify for mm-hmm. subsidies or tax credits.
Yep.
And you don't expect to have a good year every year. In fact, you can probably demonstrate average income that puts you squarely in the area where you would qualify for credits or subsidies. You know, yet you go on to healthcare.gov, they want to take a look at, you know, your tax form, they see you're outside the usual range, and suddenly you're looking at paying, you know, premiums, additional overhead that you just hadn't really factored on in your business. It was like, hey, I was having a good year, and suddenly, wow, I've got to pay, you know, $680 or $700 a month premium now, or face the penalty.
Yes.
What's the answer there?
The answer to that is people need to make a personal decision. but actually, this what you have to consider is you're projecting the income that you're putting in is what you're projecting for 2014. So if you know 2013 was a very good year, which we know that was a good year, then if you feel like when you look past, you know, fishing again, you just never know. So you're going to have to make your best guess. And after you make your best guess, you need to have that document and write that down. And then as the season progresses and it looks like it's going to be a really awesome year, then you're going to have to call the marketplace and let them know. When you know it's going to be a good season, you're going to have to call them up and let them know, and then they're going to adjust your premiums. So again, you're giving your best guess. And you are signing this off under perjury, but but it really is really for fishing and other self-employment businesses. Oftentimes it is the best guess, and fishing is probably a little bit more crazy and up and down.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy, I know that, an example I cited earlier, the friend who had great success kind of phoning mm-hmm. in and found a great insurance plan. She hadn't had insurance before. She found it very affordable. We did reporting here in Raven News about a fishing family that is paying sort of in the $700 a month mm-hmm. range, which is, you know, a much better plan than they were getting.
That's right.
But still kind of, you know, expensive. Are you finding in general that the marketplace kind of does factor in the occupational risks into premiums? Are fishermen, should they be expecting to not quite get the affordable deal that some, you know, land-based people aren't?
Well, I've seen it go both ways, always, actually. But I've seen a lot of fishermen actually get really, really good deals, actually. So and so it really depends, again, on your age, income, family size. And so I've seen it actually both ways. All and, right. You know, again, it's all based on that and what you put in for your income.
What about older people? I know under the ACA, you know, you can't be declined based on age or pre-existing conditions, but mm-hmm. can you expect to pay a higher premium out of all this if you're coming in older?
Yes. Yeah. The younger you are, the cheaper it is. So, but I have seen that's not necessarily the case. I mean, if you just looked at age alone, the answer would be yes. But when you look at the other factors, which is age, income, and family size, I've seen people that are 50 pay $6 a month for premium.
Wow.
Right? And have a really low deductible and low out-of-pocket. So it truly depends on the combination of those things.
All right. The time is 11:46. We've got 14 minutes left. There's plenty of time to take your calls. The number is 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877 if you're outside of Sitka. You can also post a question to our Facebook page at kcaw.org. Just click on the Facebook tab. Or you can email us, news@kcaw.org. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, and she's been filling my brain with information about this act, which I thought was so simple. And then listening to you talk, I realize it's quite complicated. But
then I
do wonder if most people, where do most people fall? I mean, I'm feeling a little intimidated by all this, even though I'm not really part of it. I'm covered by a healthcare plan with Coast Alaska and Raven Radio. Thank you, Board of Directors, for doing that. But I think if I were not, I would feel a little intimidated going into this. But do you find that people actually sort of get through it, you know, unscathed, or
yes,
does it just turn into this?
Lots of people aren't damaged for life, in other words, going through this. And that's why, you know, it's really great to get this word up, because it's been so confusing and there's a lot of misinformation, and and anytime you talk about insurance in general, it's very, very confusing. So I really want to encourage people to call that 1-800 line directly. That's 1-800-318-2596. And also, I'm available to answer calls, and you can reach me at 966-8883. Also, there's United Way is a navigator for Alaska, and we have a great person in Juneau. Her name is Crystal Borland, and she has a wealth of knowledge, and you can reach her at 523-1147 or 211, which takes United Way, is all over the state. And that's a really great resource. And I just really want to encourage people, if you're feeling like it's a little bit too much and you want to come to an enrollment event, there's going to be four coming up. One is actually tomorrow night, and it's at UAS. It's from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's up at the Student Success Center. And we have this great partnership with UAS, which really have opened up their doors into their really very beautiful Student Success Center. It's a very comfortable situation. You're on your own computer, and there's people to assist you. And I have kind of a crib sheet there and all these handouts so that you can read through the crib sheet and go in and set up your account and go through the system and have people there to help you out. I'm also going to have it this Saturday from 1 to 3. Then the next week is spring break, so UAS is out that week. But then the following week, the final week of filing for insurance on that Tuesday and Thursday, we're also going to have an event at UAS from 5:30 to 7:30. And I'm also available to meet people with people individually. And I've been getting a number of calls. At some point, I'm going to get maxed out. I'm going to send some over to my colleague, Julie Graham, who's over at the Search Hospital to help out. But again, you can always call directly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the national line and be able to do it all by phone.
Yeah, March 25th and 27th, that is sort of getting down.
It is getting down there. Don't wait until then.
Yeah.
But if you do, we'll be there.
And I should say, for the record, we called 211 before mm-hmm. we went on the air today while we were waiting for your flight to arrive. And it works. You do get directed to United Way, who asks you where you're calling from and helps steer you towards a navigator in mm-hmm. your area. We're getting down to the wire. We can take another couple of calls for sure. 747-5877. We will also post this entire program to our website, and we'll list these dates.
Okay, great.
And some of the contact information for you, Andrea, so people can, you know, if they're sort of putting it out of their minds now but want to come back and check on it later, you can go to kcaw.org. There's a couple of other things I wanted to ask you, and it has sort of crossed our radar a little bit. When you mentioned the 50-year-old who was paying the $6 premium, we did speak with somebody who was delighted to have her healthcare plan, you know, come down dramatically in cost, and but the problem was she felt a little guilty about it. And I guess in the big picture, you know, she had a sort of a more a larger perspective on what was happening here, and realized that she was benefiting from government, you know, sort of a government subsidy in a way she hadn't really done before, and it was not entirely sitting well with her. She would rather just that healthcare costs would just kind of come down, but she was sort of feeling it a little bit.
Now, yeah, I really would like to address that, because the Affordable Care Act, again, remember what I was talking about, how it's this huge piece of legislation, and the abbreviated one is 954 pages. How this is getting funded is, people have often heard about how the healthcare costs have been skyrocketing. There's a whole lot in this legislation, which is how this is getting paid for, which is a number of regulation changes and taxes for pharmaceutical companies and for health insurance. And it's actually, so where the money is comes from is the reducing of these healthcare costs and these penalties and taxes, and that's what pays for the Affordable Care Act. So I would say that this is part of a larger policy plan to reduce healthcare costs in our nation, which have been skyrocketing, and to not feel guilty, because the Affordable Care Act is actually reducing expenses, and so the intent is to have everybody covered by insurance, because when everybody is covered by insurance and everybody's pitching in money for that, it helps everybody receive coverage.
That's a pretty thorough answer. I'm assuming you've probably had people express the same concern to you about, ooh, I don't necessarily want to cash in on somebody else's tax or whatever. Yeah.
But that's the way of the world, right? You do it's taxes and or you have tax or you have cuts in services.
Right.
It's all a balance.
Okay.
Looks like we have a number of
we have another caller. We have Robin. Hi Robin, you're on the air. You have a question for Andrea?
I do, and I missed the first part, so if I'm redundant, I apologize. I'm on Medicare and have a supplement and have a prescription plan. Do I have to do anything with those?
No, you're good. Yeah, anybody who's insured with Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, insurance, or any other kind of employer health plan, you're good. You don't have to do anything. You're good to go.
Okay.
All right.
I wondered.
Thank you for your call, Robin. And we have another call. Kaylin, you there?
Yes. I have a question. We have several people here in Sitka who are permanent residents but not American citizens. Are they eligible?
Yes, if they have a green card. Then they are eligible. Yes, they are.
Okay, that's what we need to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. We have about 6 minutes left. We could still take your call, too. It's not too late. 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877. If you had a question for Andrea Thomas, who is the outreach or the enrollment manager at the search. Andrea, how did you get your training in all this? Where did you – you must have invested a little bit of time.
I did. Actually, for anybody, I'm a certified application counselor. So myself and actually there's about five people within Search who've gone through this training, and it's a kind of an online training, and you have to pass these exams. And so I just have really been interested in this topic, and this is actually a brand new job. As some of you know, I've been in the field of tobacco policy and prevention for a number of years, and with this opportunity came up, it's just something that I'm really passionate about. And so even though I did the training a lot, I've learned actually quite a bit by colleagues and different webinars and actually just helping people on a day-to-day basis that I've learned really so much. And I continue to learn every day. Like I did all this research this weekend for this program and there's just so much to learn. Again, this is the Affordable Care Act is a huge piece of legislation and there's still more to learn. And so I figure by the time the next enrollment November, it's going to be even more amazing.
Yeah.
You know even more.
And you kind of light up talking about this. Again, we reported on one man who you sort of led through this process and he knocked the table over, stood up and said, come here, give me a hug.
I know. It's been really great working with people that for some people are just getting health insurance for the very first time or have had pre-existing conditions, and people are often in tears and I'm also get a lot of hugs. It's great. it's been very satisfying and really most everybody wants health insurance. It's just they couldn't afford it. And so it's really great to be able to help people navigate through this so that they can get insurance that's affordable.
Yeah. And again, it's not always a rosy picture for everybody, unfortunately. And the act is definitely still very much source of political tension in Washington. But it also is the law of the land, and it's bearing down on us this March 31st deadline to enroll. And again, I guess the if people really want to connect with you, again, the best thing to do would just be tomorrow evening, 5:30 to 7:30, go to the Student Success Center UAS. All these details will be posted on our website, kcaw.org. And I guess the best thing of all is that actually
It's all free.
There are no charges for your services.
Yeah, that's right.
That is pretty darn.
That's awesome, isn't
good.
It?
Good.
Not very much comes free, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's I think we've gone about as far as we can go.
It's great. Andrea. Thanks for having me. Really, it's been great to be on.
And we're actually going to. You came literally off the plane from Angoon, and you came into our studios. And you're probably the rest of your day. You're booked with appointments, meeting individually with people.
Yes.
And probably, if anything you've heard today is tipping you towards action, probably getting a hold of you, Andrea, sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Or dialing the United Way at 211 is probably advised, because 20 days can just go by in the blink of an eye here.
That's right, and everybody will be trying to do this last minute. So again, now that you know that 800 number that you can call 24/7, that's always a good alternative.
All right. You've been listening to a live call-in on the Affordable Care Act here on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director. Our fabulous guest has been Andrea Thomas, the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. We had extraordinary help today from Rachel Waldholtz, KCAW's reporter. Emily Foreman, our postgraduate fellow, has been helping bring calls in, along with Rebecca LaGuire, our program director, who helps sort of clear the schedule to make this kind of thing happen. Anyway, so thanks again, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
BBC is coming up next on Raven Radio.